older son's attitude represents too many church folk who have a performance theology, who think people in the kingdom got saved despite their inability to earn righteousness, but after getting saved, they have to earn it. That is as unbiblical a position as you could take, but churches are very comfortable taking it.
He never left his father's house, never chose to be a prodigal son, but in many ways, his problems ran much deeper. Hello and welcome to this Friday edition of Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd. Today, Pastor Paul takes one final look at the story of the prodigal son and at two distinct responses to the son's rebellion. The first was a father who forgave his son and celebrated his return. The second was an older brother who became indignant and self-righteous. Today's message is straight ahead. Stay with us here or visit PastorPaul.net to listen anytime on demand. That's PastorPaul.net. You can also subscribe to the Destined for Victory podcast at Spotify, at Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, with today's Destined for Victory message, refusing to attend God's party, here's Pastor Paul.
Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. Now, the party has started in the house. But he's in the field. Now, let's not get mad at him for being in the field. It was a normal work day. He didn't know his brother was coming home that day. And so whatever his responsibilities were, he was probably about his father's business in that regard. There's no problem that he is not immediately in the house. He doesn't yet know what's going on. So the older son's in the field. Not a problem yet. But now the problem develops. Look at it. He comes near the house. He heard music and dancing. So as he approaches the house, he hears the music. He hears folks in there dancing and celebrating. He now knows a party is on. And look at what happens here. He doesn't go to see what's going on. He stands aloof, calls a servant, and says, "What's going on in there? Anybody see what's wrong with this picture?" At this point, he shows us his heart. He's aloof. He has long since written his brother off. He disgraced us. Bye. See you later. That's his attitude. He does not have his father's love. He does not have his father's values. His father longed for his lost son. This boy has written his brother off. His father called servants to help bring dignity and restoration. This boy calls servants only to get information. Now notice what happens when he gets the information. "Your brother has come," the servant replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." Verse 28, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So let's look at the contrast. The father, longing, first he was longing, just wanted to be reunited with his son. Longing. In the same way we saw earlier in the chapter that the owner of the sheep longed to be reunited with the one sheep and left the 99 to go find him. In the same way that the woman who had lost a coin longed to find her lost coin and searched the whole house till she found it. The father now longs before the reunion. He longs, his heart's desire is to be reunited with his son. By contrast, the oldest son is detached, wrote him off like a bad debt. The father, compassionate, when he sees his son and sees that the longing now of his heart is going to give birth to a wonderful reunion, compassion fills his heart. Older brother, as uncompassionate as can be. For once he learns his brother has returned, there's no compassion. What develops is anger. The father, loving, restoring, reinvesting, celebrating. The oldest son, unloving, angry, obstinate, has a real attitude. The older son represents what's wrong with today's church. The church cannot afford to be detached in today's world. We can't afford to be so holy that we don't even plug into where people are and what's going on around us. We have to be people. The Bible says Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You got to get close to get a touch. And not only is he touched by us, but he calls us to touch the world. And you need to be a person who is not detached from what's going on around you. The people on your job, the people in your community, the people in your family. Don't be so holy. See, they can't stand me because I stand for righteousness. No, they can't stand you because something's wrong with you. You ought to be somewhere saying, Lord, help me to have a better attitude than I have. Help me to stop acting so holier than thou. Some of y'all, your testimony for Jesus is that nobody smokes near you and drinks near you and no weed has ever come within 25 feet of me and no. How you gonna touch the people? You might not want them smoking in your car. I get that. But at least stand outside and let them puff while you talk. Every now and then over the years as a pastor, I've had to visit some folks' house, especially sometimes in the earlier days, I would do it and I would just pop into a neighborhood and say, oh, that's right, Sister So-and-so needed to say something to me when the church was much smaller and I'd just run in. And every now and then I've had the experience of coming up the walk of some saint's house and I hear him in a panic. Somebody look out the window and say, oh, the pastor coming, put that up, put it up. In there hiding your liquor because I'm coming up the wall. You don't have to hide it from me. I don't want it. I'm not going to drink nary a sip. I don't want it. It's not because I'm so holy. I never did like it. I just didn't like the taste. It wasn't a spiritual thing for me. I just didn't go for it. But I've no need of hiding from me, trying to impress me. I got no heaven or hell for you. And we have to learn to be more connected. The older son represents why we can't reach more desperately lost people with the gospel. Because we want the church to be a country club of folks who pretend like they've never been wrong. If you show that you are not fully cooked, you will see in the case of many people in today's church that the love they said they extended to you that brought you into the kingdom was a conditional fair weather kind of love. It's a kind of love a marriage could never survive with. Because if you marry somebody and say, I'm going to love you when you do everything right, I'm going to love you when you make all the right decisions, I'm going to love you when you handle the money right. I'm going to love you when you raise our children right. I'm going to love you if you give me the kids I want you to give me. I'm going to love you if you never lose your job. I'm going to love you if the house stays secure. I'm going to love you if you send me on the right vacations. I would recommend you not walk down that aisle because you can't live up to those expectations. Life is going to happen to you. Adverse developments are going to happen. Some will be of your own making. Some will happen to you, but then you'll have some wrong reactions to things that happen to you. I promise you, a love that is based on performance is not a love that can stand the test of time. You who want to get married one day, don't just ask God for shoulders and biceps. Come on, sisters, let me help y'all. I know there's a lot of single sisters in the kingdom want to get married, and you praying, God, give me 6'2", give me broad shoulders, give me biceps. I want a man in the gym every other day. I want a man who hold a job all the time. He make more money than me. I want a man who looks a certain way. I want him to look a little bit like Denzel. I want him to... I got a hard question for you. So what exactly would he want with you? What you need to be praying for, Lord, I want a man after your own heart. I want a man who doesn't want to break your heart, so that if he makes bad decisions, if he goes astray along the way, you're able to get to his heart. You're able to pull him back in, because he can't resist your love. He's got to come back to your grace. He can't stay out there and do what he wants to do. He belongs to you. You have your hand on him. He's called according to your purpose. Lord, give me a man after your heart. And let me help y'all understand something. God never promised you the man you want. You've been reading too many fairy tales. That's Cinderella. That's not Bible. God never promised to give you the man you want. If you are suitable, don't even pray until you're suitable. Suitable for what? Suitable to love somebody not only because of, but despite what they do wrong, despite how they may come short, despite the mistakes that they make. Go back to the original design. That's what the story of Adam and Eve is there to show us. God's design. The design is that she would be a help suitable for him. Men need wives because men need help. And just be honest, brothers. By God's design, men need wives because they need help. Some brothers pull off singleness. Not most of y'all can do that. I'm just telling you straight up. Most of y'all don't have enough friends and networks and abilities to do that apart from a wife. Most of y'all just need to break down, get married. That's just straight the way it is. And some of you all, your drives by themselves demand marriage. Don't make me go too much deeper than that. Paul said to avoid fornication, marry. Didn't he? He didn't say to avoid fornication, work out. Have a busy social life. He said, no, just go on, break down and find you a wife. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. So brothers, pray and be real and honest with yourself.
Up next, the rest of today's Destined for Victory message with Pastor Paul Shepherd. He's senior pastor of Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California. We want to thank all of you for your prayers and financial support, and to let you know that they're having a profound impact on the world. As God leads, please consider making a generous gift to Destined for Victory today. Donate by calling 855-339-5500, or you can give securely online at our new and improved website, PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net. Well, you can't reach out and touch the world for Christ if you're standing too far away. Here's Pastor Paul with the rest of today's Destined for Victory message, refusing to attend God's party.
But a man needs help. And if you are not suitable to help somebody, why would God bring you into their lives? If you're looking for somebody to meet all your needs and carry all your bags, I'm so glad you got here. Here, take this, here. My daddy didn't never affirm me, and my dad never told me he wasn't even in. I don't even know what he looked like. I could walk past him down the street, and I wouldn't even know that was my father. So here, I need you to be all the males I need in my life. I need you to be the brother I never had and the father I never had. And I need you to be, and you know my last boyfriend beat me up, and I need you to treat me kind. I need you to, and here, take this and take that. And hey, you don't need a husband. You need a baggage handler. You know what you really need to be praying for? You need to be praying for somebody who doesn't want to break God's heart. Because if he fails, if he comes short, if he misses the mark in any area of his life, but if he has a heart for God, God's going to be able to woo him and pull him back home. And you'll have a man who will please the Lord. And in pleasing the Lord, you stand a pretty good chance of being happy yourself. Oh, he might not be 6'2". He might not have biceps and triceps and stuff. He might not look like Denzel. You might have to squint your eyes to get a little Denzel look. Where am I in this message? Let me find my place. The older son's attitude represents too many church folk who have a performance theology, who think people in the kingdom got saved despite their inability to earn righteousness, but after getting saved, they have to earn it. That is as unbiblical a position as you could take, but churches are very comfortable taking it. You got to understand, if we want to reach 21st century America, we have to love people before they get saved. We have to love people as they get saved. And we have to love people despite how long it takes and what changes they go through before they get to the state that God has taken all of us to. Once you get saved, you're on the same journey. And if you fall, if you fail, if you go astray, if you make mistakes, if you get way off the beaten path, our position is to go find you in the name of our Father and to love you and to restore you and to say, come on, let's keep on walking toward our destiny together. And a church that will do that is a church God will bless in these last hours. So I need you to understand something. We've got to learn from this older son what not to be like. He is obstinate. He is angry. And now look farther. When the father comes out, I love that about God. You can cop attitude all you want. God won't cop one back. You better be glad God doesn't cop attitudes. We all better be really excited that when we decide we're going to have an attitude, God will not participate. Because a friend of mine told his grown daughter, who he didn't do something for, that she wanted him to do something for her. And he said, she made me so mad, I picked up the phone and called her. He said, I said, listen, let me tell you something. I know you have an attitude with me, but as broke as you are, you can't afford to. Told his grown daughter, you're too broke to have that kind of attitude. You're going to pack an attitude with me. You better have you some serious cash. Because you're always up in my house expecting us to do something else for you. You're supposed to be grown. And don't know that what you get now, you're not getting out of entitlement. You're getting out of love. And he said, I suggest you rethink your attitude. She straightened up. Wasn't my daughter, by the way, just so you understand. Our kids are cool. Thank God for them. Look at this. The father goes out. He hears about the boy's attitude. Because father's in there and he's looking around. He's very engaging. He knows somebody's missing here. And he asks a servant, where's Junior? And one of them who knows, or maybe the other one who came in, says, oh, Junior outside. He's not too happy. The father, thank God, the father didn't say, oh, well, party over here. Aren't you glad when you outside with an attitude, God cares? And God goes out and sees the son and look at the word in verse 28, pleads with him. It's what God is doing with his church in these closing hours. He's pleading with us to get off of our high horse, to get out of our self-righteous attitude, pleading with us to get our act together and stop acting like we're saved by works and recognize how filthy our works really are in the sight of a holy God. He's pleading, I want to use my church in these closing hours of time. So what does he do? He goes out, pleads with him, but the son isn't hearing it. Verse 29, he answers his father, look. Whenever I read that, it gives me the same feeling I get when the younger son said, give me. Remember that earlier in the series? Now we got the older son telling his father, look. Excuse me? I'm sorry, y'all weren't raised like me. I can't even imagine saying to my father or mother at any point, look. You know, they just said, you must have a tumor growing on the part of your brain that gives you decent sense. We need to get your head checked. You need a scan. Who you think you talking to? That's what some of us would have heard. And some of y'all, I know you don't tell it now because it's considered abuse now. But some of y'all would have only heard that while getting up off of the floor. You don't have to say amen. I know you don't want to admit that you were abused. That's what they call it now. See, when we grew up, it wasn't abuse. We didn't know it was abuse. We didn't know anything about child protective services. I didn't know such an agency existed. I didn't know there was a number we could call. All we knew was, Jesus, please have mercy. If you heard something come out your mouth that you knew shouldn't have come out, you weren't saved yet, but you started praying right then. Oh, my Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I just heard something come out of my mouth that should not have come out. Please allow me to recant that statement before I get myself killed. This boy said, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Do you see that self-righteousness? That's where the church is. Look at him. He feels entitled on the basis of his righteousness. Listen, let me tell you something. If you want to be in the flow of what God's going to do in these closing hours of time, don't you dare ask God to bless you according to your righteousness. One of the most dangerous states you can be in is when you think you, of your own merit, are righteous. You know why? Because it's exactly what the Pharisees thought. And all you are is a 21st century Christian Pharisee. When you think your righteousness counts in heaven. Do you know why we have right standing before God? Because every one of us is clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The only way God can stand to look at you and me is he sees us through his Son. How dare you ask God to bless you according to your righteousness? God looks on the heart. He looks on the motive. He looks at what's deep inside of you. When he sees hatred and malice and nastiness and self-righteousness and Pharisees' attitudes and all kinds of stuff, looking down on other people and uncompassionate toward folk who aren't as well off as you, God hates it when his church is uncompassionate, when we look on people with needs and turn up our nose and say they ought to get a job, get off the side of the freeway asking me for my money and they ought to get a job. You don't know who that is. You don't know what they've been through. It could be that God has given you a chance to be blessed by being a blessing to somebody else. I'm too blessed to pass them by. Too blessed to do it. Turned my car around the other day, saw somebody standing there, and I turned my car, went back in the opposite direction, standing there. You said, yeah, but I heard there's a whole bunch of scams, there's a whole bunch of folk, and I did, and I saw him when he got through with the stand. He went and got in a car and drove off, so he got to be better off than I. How dare you think you know what somebody's going through? Sure, every now and then there's some scamming folk out there, but there's some other people in genuine need.
In John chapter 15, verse 12, Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Learn to love your brothers and sisters in Christ, not because of good performance, but in spite of their struggles. That's when the world will see that we are truly disciples of Jesus. Well, when you look back at the history of the church, you can't help but notice that it has always taken partnership to fulfill the Great Commission. It still does. And today we'd like to invite you to take part in this important cause by becoming a Destined for Victory partner for as little as $20 a month. People all over the world are eager to hear about the hope we have in Christ, and many are getting that message right here on Destined for Victory with your help. As our way of saying thanks for your partnership, we'll send you a few gifts, including one of Pastor Paul's most popular CDs, The Best of Let My People Smile. So call 855-339-5500 to find out more about how to become a Destined for Victory partner. Or mail your gift, letting us know you wish to partner with us. The address is Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. You can also become our partner from our website, PastorPaul.net. Now, if you can't become a partner but would like to send a generous gift today, we'll send you this month's thank you gift, a brand new booklet from Pastor Paul, Out of the Salt Shaker. That's Out of the Salt Shaker, yours by request for your generous gift to Destined for Victory.
God knows exactly where he has pointed your life toward. In fact, he's already at the destination. That's why I love serving an omnipresent God. God is already where he's taking you. He's with you, but he is already where you are going.
That's next time in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message. No matter what happens, keep moving forward. Until then, remember, He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.